Nehemiah chapter 8 in your Bibles over in the Old Testament, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So if you find Psalms, it's a landmark in the Bible. You just need to go backwards from there and got Nehemiah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Brother Phil helping us here with Brother Miss Hurst away here this weekend and next weekend. I'm thankful they had a nice long vacation away from work and responsibilities and praying for them to be refreshed, have great family time. But I also appreciate a good group here getting ready for the Christmas presentation by the choir, and that is on the 15th. And but this year, a little differently done, it's going to be in the 11 o'clock service. And so as a part of the morning service, they'll be presenting this wonderful program. The boys and girls have a part in that. And then, of course, we have a message from the Word of God, as we do in every service. And then following that, lunch in the Activity Center. And just a wonderful time of fellowship around the Lord. And then an afternoon service immediately following lunch. It should be around 1 to 1:15, but it depends on how fast we fellowship and how fast we eat. And we fellowship fast, but we eat slow. So we'll see what happens. And then that Sunday night, there won't be a service. That's on December the 15th. Nehemiah chapter 8 here in your Bible. The title of the message tonight is to be strong in the Lord. And there's three great areas in Nehemiah chapter 8 that the Lord wants you to be strong in. In chapter 8 in verse 1, he wants you to be strong in unity with others. It's extremely important. The second thing he wants you to be strong is in understanding the Word of God. And the third thing he wants you to be strong in is upholding the joy of the Lord. So I got three things here, and I appreciate you thinking about that. First of all, it's very important to the Lord that I be unified with other people. We live in one of the most divided times that our country has ever experienced, and I believe that carries over into God's people. It's like we're lone wolves. We're in our own world with our phones and tablets and computers, and we don't realize that there are other folks around us, and the Lord wants us to unify. It's part of our faith. It's part of God's command for us. And so we want to be strong in the Lord by being unified with others. And then we want to work at understanding the Word of God. This book is not like a novel that you sit down and relax. I relax when I read the Bible, but it's not like a novel that you just sit and read loosely. And it takes some thought. It takes some input from your heart to receive the Word. It might actually take a little research to look up a word, see what that means. It might take some time, and usually it does, if you're getting where you ought to get, you're asking the Lord to help you. Lord, I don't really understand what you're saying here, but I do understand that there's some application here for me, and I want to know what it is you're saying. And so the Lord is not offended if I pray and say, Lord, help me to understand this area. Some of the most exciting times I've ever experienced is to pray that and then to continue to meditate on what I'm questioning, and Lord, what does this mean? And then to have within a couple of days some experiences that allow me clearly to understand what the Lord is saying. And so I want to be strong in understanding the Word of God. And then the third thing is I want to uphold the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is a choice. You know, tonight I can be as low as I choose to be. My chin can drag the ground, or my heart can be high and joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely a choice. It's not like thunderbolts hit you and suddenly, oh, this makes me rejoice or have joy. And you know what? I believe you'll see that as we read the Bible together tonight and see that down in verse number 10 and 11, the people, as they heard the Word of God and began to understand, they were saddened. They realized they hadn't been living right, and they wanted to get right. But the leadership there, Ezra, as he was reading and explaining the Word of God, and Nehemiah, who was leading them in rebuilding these walls, he said, listen, down in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry. That's a choice. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to be strong in holding on to the joy of the Lord. The devil will give you a brick or two every day that'll load you down and cause you to be discouraged and depressed. And you can carry those all around as long as you want to, or you can throw them back at him and say, listen, I'm going to choose to rejoice and be joyful in the Lord. Well, let me start reading here. It would be helpful to have just a little bit, a moment of introduction. Chapters 1 through 6 is about the construction of the walls. There are several times in which God's people came back from their Babylonian captivity, those 70 years of captivity. And the first time they came back to rebuild the temple. And then the Lord sent Nehemiah back, and I'm simplifying it, but he sent Nehemiah back to rebuild the walls. And the first six chapters of Nehemiah are about the job of rebuilding the walls around the city so they could use the temple. And chapter 7 to chapter 13 is about reinstructing the people. They've been slaves. They haven't paid attention to spiritual things like they should. And listen, you can lose things. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose truth. You need to keep it warm in your heart. You need to keep it before your eyes and your mind, and it can be fuzzy. And you don't want to get fuzzy on spiritual truth and doctrine. And so this is a wonderful time of reinstruction after the 52 days of rebuilding the wall. Let me read quickly just a few selected verses and move fast tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They listened. And that's a choice, isn't it? I can choose tonight to say, I'm so tired, I can't get this, my head hurts, my feet hurt, someone's distracting me. Or I can just choose to say, Lord, help me to drown out those distractions and get something from your word tonight. I'm going to need it in this coming week. So in verse number 4, they put Ezra on a pulpit of wood. It says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, Mathiah, and Chima, and Aniah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, on his right hand, and on his left, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, and Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, wow, all the people stood up. I think there's a crowd there that wanted to hear. It's in verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let me just go on just a little bit down in verse number 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And then in verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is, let me move down to verse 10 for the sake of time. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be you sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so tonight, the issue is being strong in the Lord. The first thing I notice in verse 1 of chapter 8 is that the people gathered them together as one man. It's what the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Your choices tonight, your decisions, your spiritual life has effect on every person in this church. The state of your spiritual life, the joy of the Lord in your heart has an incredible effect. And God wants us to be unified in what we're doing. We are involved in a spiritual work. Tonight, if you're a married person, your marriage is a spiritual work that God has given you to do. If you're raising children, your raising of your children is a spiritual work and responsibility which the Lord has given you. If you're a Christian school teacher, if you're homeschooling, if you're working in Patch Club, or you're working in Sunday school or primary or junior church or some area of ministering the Word of God, that is a huge spiritual work which the Lord has given you. Hold your place in Nehemiah chapter 8 and go over to the book of James chapter 1 and verse number 5. We've been looking at James 1 and verse 5 throughout this week. It's been a wild week in our Christian school ministry, but in our staff time and our teacher devotion time, we've been looking over here at James chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm so thankful that the Lord understands that in order for me to be unified with other people, it's going to take His power to help me to do that. Now, I want you to think that through. God has all power. And so tonight, I am able to be unified with the folks that God has put around me. He has the spiritual power to help me. He has the wisdom to help me overcome the challenges that keep me from unifying my heart with other believers. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's rarely a day goes by that I don't find myself multiple times against things that I just cry out, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I just need to ask. And tonight, the spiritual work of being unified with others around you involves relying on the Lord. It also involves remaining under His control. The Bible says that the moment we're saved, God's Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And the Lord commands us to be Spirit-filled. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. And sometimes the way the Bible says that, our human minds are not caught up with what God is saying, and we tend to think, oh, that means that I'm to get more of the Spirit, like a big pitcher of water. I need to fill more water in there, the water being the Spirit. But the truth that the Bible teaches is that's not the way it is. The moment we get saved, we get all of the Spirit that we're going to get. We either have God's Holy Spirit or we don't within us. And if we have Him, we're saved. But the issue is, how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? And tonight, if I hope to be unified with anybody, if I hope to be unified with my mate, if I hope to be unified in my family, if I hope to be unified in my church, if I hope to be unified in my community, my state, and my nation, it is going to require a wonderful filling of the Holy Spirit, which means the Lord needs more of me. And every day I need to remind myself, Lord, please take charge of me, my thoughts, my hands, my mouth. Lord, I've got a spiritual work to do, and I want to be a channel of unity and not a channel of opposition and division. And so I need to remain under His control. I also need to understand that God in His providence, He's put some people around me that He wants me to unify with. Let me give some examples of those. I hope you've got your Bible and you can limber up and go to a few scriptures. The first one is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12. And if there's somebody near you there didn't have their Bible tonight, or maybe it got left in the car, go ahead and scoot close to them, or take that pew Bible in front of you and find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12 says that the Lord, if we're going to have unity, we're going to need to unify with spiritual leaders. I'll say that again. I think it's very important. God has set things in order as He has chosen. And, one of the requirements that God is going to ask of us is that we unify with others. If we can't unify with those in spiritual leadership, then we're going to have a hard time unifying with anybody else. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "And we beseech you," which, by the way, is just a little statement in the Bible that always says, hey, this is very important, because the word beseech means beg. Thank you. R-I-S means to beg. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." They're a channel, hopefully, of grace and blessing to your life. And verse 13, I have a responsibility. It will be produced by the Holy Spirit as He has control over my heart. It will be produced as I ask for wisdom and the control of the Lord. I rely on Him to do it. But it says in verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Hey, unity is pretty important tonight. Go over to Hebrews chapter 3, and over in the book of Hebrews chapter number 3, Hebrews chapter 13, I left the one off. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 7 and verse 17, where the Bible talks again about the importance of spiritual leadership. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be your child's Sunday school teacher. It may be a youth leader. It may be your child's youth leader. It may be a Christian school teacher and a Christian school classroom. And it may be a children's church leader. In Hebrews 13, though, the Lord gives some spiritual leadership to others and to us. And it says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Unless we think, well, I can remember them. I've had a lot of preachers in my lifetime. I can remember my Sunday. Well, it's more than that, because he continues the thought in verse 17. And he says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's not going to work out very well. And so, hey, number one, I have a responsibility to appreciate spiritual leadership, to recognize it. And we do that every day in our society. We do it over on base, because a person has, a certain rank does not make them a superior person. And yet, for the sake of the unity of the whole base, we understand that to get the mission done and job done, some people are given responsibilities on this level and some on this level. And folks work together to get the mission accomplished. And the same thing is true in church work, the local church, and in what God is doing in this New Testament day of grace. We should be looking around and understand, not only is it about spiritual leadership, but it's loving the people around you who God has placed there to love you. Now, all too often, we leave and we get out from under the blessing of those folks that the Lord put in our lives, and we look back and we realized, wow, the Lord sure put somebody there to help me, didn't he? And we didn't fully appreciate it, and we didn't take full advantage of those that the Lord has placed in our lives to love us. You know, in the scriptures, Timothy had someone like that. His name was Paul. And Paul was his father in the ministry. In fact, 1st and 2nd Timothy were letters written to Timothy from the Apostle Paul to encourage him and to show Paul's love for Timothy. And you ought to love those people. You know, you ought to seek to unify with those people and not to oppose those folks. In Paul's life, the Lord gave a man by the name of Barnabas. He was a remarkable man. Paul was a pariah. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he claimed to have gotten saved. And it wasn't until Barnabas, I mean, nobody wanted anything to do with him, because they felt like that it's a trick. They're trying to get in here and destroy all of us, and we're not going to have anything to do with them. But it's Barnabas who is the son of consolation, if you read about him and his testimony in the book of Acts, who brought the Apostle Paul in, helped set him up over at Antioch, where the Bible says that Christians were first called Christians, little Christ, and sent him up over there. And boy, the rest is history. God called him out to take the gospel to the regions beyond, to all over the earth. And you ought to love those that God and recognize them. They're there. They're there tonight. Please recognize them and appreciate them. And those that are loving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, let me encourage you this. This last area concerning the issue of the spiritual work of uniting with others. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul was talking about the limitations and problems, the thorn in the flesh that the Lord had given him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, most of our lives, we're going to feel a lot of weakness. And you know, tonight, if you feel genuinely weak, you're probably in a very good spiritual state. I mean, if you feel like Superman and like you are the king of Christianity, you're probably just about to fall like a meteor. I mean, it's a very dangerous thing, because the Lord allows us to experience our weakness so that we can enjoy His strength. And that's what 2 Corinthians 12 is about. Three times the Apostle Paul asked the Lord to take away this thorn in the flesh. He describes it in verse 7 and verse 8. And then in verse 9, the Lord fills him in. And I notice this, and I love this about, I have a red letter edition, which means that the sayings of Christ are in red. And if, how many of you have one of those? You have, oh great. Did you notice in verse 9 that that statement there over here in the epistles is stated by Jesus Christ Himself? And He said unto thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then He talks about all the things that can come. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What a blessing tonight. And if you're feel a little unstable because of weakness in your life and vulnerability, you ought to just thank God for it and say, Lord, I'm looking for Your strength, and let the Lord help you. But one of the great issues in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1 for this re-instruction was, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street. And tonight I sure would like in 2020 to see God's people not only at Victory Baptist Church, but God's people across this country, across the world, to unify, scare the daylights out of the devil, to get the gospel to every creature, to return to our obligations and responsibilities, and to unify with God's people in a way that is produced not by just the flesh, but produced by the control of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to do good things. And tonight, I hope someone comes to your mind that is difficult to unify with, and that you'll start praying, Lord, this is a brother in Christ. This is a sister in Christ. We go to the same church. We need to unify and love one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to honor the Lord. You'll never know what God will do when that takes place. The second issue was not just the issue of unity, but it was also about understanding the Scripture. And if you'll notice down in verse 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he preached the word of God, and it says in verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And so tonight, it is very important that I get an understanding of the word of God. One of the things that we were studying last weekend in our Conquer series in the men's prayer breakfast, we had about a 30-minute Bible study before prayer breakfast. Different, we've never done anything like that. It's been a blessing. I appreciate the faithfulness of the men that have come and the things that we're learning in the Bible. One of the things we looked at was how complex the human brain is and how easy it is to program it to wrong. Inside of our brains, there are 100 billion neurons. And with each one of those 100 billion neurons, there are literally 10,000 connectors. If somebody would just real quick multiply 100 billion by 10,000. Anybody got that real fast? No mathematicians. All right, okay. Anyway, I can't come up with that figure. I'm sure we can. Oh, somebody's doing it. All right, no, somebody can't. It's a lot of paths in our brain. But the way God has set it up is that you know, you have thoughts that go back and back and back, and you literally plow a path in your brain, an electrical path. These neurons are connected together by these connectors, and those sparks of thought, they go right down, and they literally burn a path in your brain. It's been proven. There are people that go over to Great Britain or some country like that where they not only drive on the wrong side of the road, the steering wheel is on the wrong side in the car. But people can go and they can retrain themselves. They're smart, you know, they understand. But in an accident, in a moment of, of danger, people get hurt seriously because their hands, their feet, their eyes, their brain go back to all those years since they were like almost 16 and they got their driver's book and they learned in the United States to drive on the right side of the road, and they're used to all the gears and everything and brakes and how they are in the car in America. And without thinking, they go back to that, and it often causes very serious accidents in moments of emergency because they have a pattern that has been established in their brains. Obviously, if a person thinks filthy thoughts and they dwell day after day on vile and perverted things, they produce a path inside of their brain that is going to be very difficult to overcome. As much as somebody who learned to drive in the United States and for many years drove, but then they went as a missionary to Great Britain and they got on the roads and they got a car over there, and in an emergency, you know what? Their brain goes back to those old patterns. They are very hard to overcome. Can I encourage you? Don't think dirty. Don't let your brain go into the vile things that are in movies and songs and is broadcast 24/7 by Satan 365 days a year. He is trying to get people to believe lies about God, about themselves, about life, and he is helping them to establish permanent thought patterns that are very difficult ever to overcome. They are blazing trails in their brain. Can I also encourage you in another way? Every time when you battle to be unified with another person because you don't understand them, they don't talk the way you like for them to talk, they say things that sometimes hurt you, and so it gets to the point that just looking at them, there's a brain pattern activated inside of your brain, and it is anti that person, and therefore it is really anti-God, because that unity that should be there is destroyed. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 that a person has to renew their mind. In fact, one of the things that we've found out in our study together is that when a person gets off in things like pornography, it can often take up to 90 days just to get through the first stages of beginning to reprogram their brain, at new paths in their brain. And it can take anywhere from 3 to 5 years of doing right in order to overcome those patterns and those neurons that are already there. And you can understand, look in Romans 12, 2. Let's go over there and look at it. And we'll go as far as we can tonight. But Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Lord says over here, in Romans 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let your brain circuits make paths in your brain that are anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-truth. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God renew your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Where am I going to get that? By understanding this book. There's a great passage. It's over in Psalm 1. If you'll go over there, I appreciate it. It's the first Psalm. Perhaps you've already memorized it as a blessing. I know in our Bible class in the Christian school, this coming Tuesday is their verse quiz over Psalm 1, 1 and 2. But about two-thirds of them have already stood up and given the passage because they've memorized it previously at camp or in youth group, and that was a blessing. I just hope they understood what Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not setting up paths through his brain of the false advice and counsel of this world about marriage, about friendship, about the things of this world. It says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Yeah, you can have a mocking, scornful attitude and thoughts, And they can just blaze a trail in your brain that's going to be very hard to overcome. But in verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That word is cleansing his mind. That word is producing the right thought patterns about the Lord. In fact, it even says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You remember when we were studying on Wednesday night about prayer and about being rooted and grounded in love, that was the love that we have, the love the Lord has for us. And now that every day we need to take our substance, the minerals from the Word of God, the water that refreshes us from the Word of God, centering and thinking on how much God loves us and how his love is shown to us every day. And in verse 3, when I put my roots in there, I'm going to be, verse 3, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the right kinds of thought patterns, that is extremely important tonight. Back to Nehemiah chapter number 8. I rejoice in Nehemiah seeking to have the folks to have good, sound, scriptural understanding. Unity and understanding the scriptures. There's one last thing in these last 4 or 5 minutes that we have left. And that has to do with over here in verse number 10. And it has to do with upholding the joy of the Lord. It says in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. They're dedicating these walls. They're having a revival, opening the Word. They're reinstructing, allowing themselves to be reinstructed in the truths of the Bible. And then the last part of verse 10, which you see many times, things that people have put up on walls and cross-stitched. And verse number 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, the people, at first it says in verse 9, that they begin to mourn and to weep. And Nehemiah said, hey, don't mourn. Mourn not, verse 9, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And God's word is perfect. And when you put our imperfect lives by it, you begin to understand the chasm between what we are and what God wants us to be. And it can make you discouraged. But the Lord never intended for that to happen. He wants here the joy of the Lord to be our strength. That is a choice. It is a choice tonight to choose to be a joyful person because the Lord wants me to. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It is a source of defense. When you find in your heart terrible discontentment and you go to scriptures like the Apostle Paul when he spoke over in Philippians about being content in the Lord. And let me go over there and read it, because that'd do a whole lot better than me describing it. Let me just read it real quickly over in the 4th chapter of Philippians, if you'd like to go over there. The Apostle Paul says in verse 12, let me start in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. What does that mean? You know, sometimes there are going to be days that don't work out so well. There are going to be some days that, you know, things really don't work out so well. But I can still choose in those circumstances to have the joy of the Lord. As a pastor, many times I've gone to the hospital to try to encourage people who are battling terrible illness or disease or head surgery, and only to find myself amazingly encouraged by their attitudes and their hearts. They weren't down at all. They just got a bad report. Things weren't looking so well. And, you know, but they were content in the Lord. They had joy in their heart. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And in verse 13, this one that you see on a lot of walls and cross-stitch and Facebook, and no one even knows the actual context of the verse. Philippians 4:13, many have memorized it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what can I do? I can be content. That's what I can do. I can choose to be content, even though this wasn't my best day. Things didn't turn out the way I wanted. I can be calm in the Lord. I can have a spirit of cooperation with others. I can have a spirit of commitment and cheerfulness. I can be satisfied in the Lord. I can assure you that Satan wants to attack your joy. And can you put two and two together? Can you make a neuron path at this moment? Why would he want, according to verse 10, the last three or four words there in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He sit down, have a little time with the Lord. Lord, I'm discouraged. I'm a little despondent about things. I don't know what to do. But Lord, I want to be joyful in you. I want to be content in you. I want to be happy in you. And Lord, the Bible says that I can be. You said I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. Help me right now, O God, to have joy in you. And guess what? You know what happens? Strength, spiritual strength tonight. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming. And in just a minute, going to have a hymn of invitation. We've looked at three areas that God wanted his people to be strong in tonight. This was a wonderful period of reinstruction. The construction is done in the first six chapters. And now we have chapter 7 to 13 and the people and their reinstruction. And one area that God dealt with is unity. Are you unified with God's people? Are you unified with spiritual leadership? Are you unified with your mate? Are you unified in your family with your parents? God says, I want you to be unified. And just in chapter 8 and verse 1, they gathered themselves together as one man into the street. The second thing God wants me to do is to set up godly thought patterns. Those patterns, those neurons, just like a person can put vile things in their mind, and they may never be able to overcome those thought patterns outside of a wonderful miracle of the Word of God and the work of the Spirit, and they have to choose to let that happen. But tonight I can set up patterns that are wonderful and glorious, filled with great truth about the Lord, about myself. God wants me to do that. Would you do that tonight? Have you allowed the Lord to help you to understand His Word? And then the third area, are you upholding in your life as a choice the joy of the Lord? Oh, preacher, you don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand. Well, I understand Paul's circumstances when he wrote Philippians. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He was in jail and he was condemned not for stealing or lying, for bribery. He wasn't there for that. He was there because he preached the gospel. He loved Jesus Christ. And he said, there are times I'm going to suffer need. And there are times where I'm going to abound. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Perhaps tonight you need to get the joy of the Lord back in your heart. Great place to do it. On your knees, won't you come? You may be here in this service, and as you are here tonight, you're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. I can't imagine any of this meaning anything to you if there is a serious doubt that if you died, you would not go to heaven. We're here to help, and in just a moment, we'll be standing to our feet, heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. There are people here that are ready, willing, able, excited to take the Bible and share the simple plan of salvation, a handful of scriptures that they can show you and explain and help you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you meet me here tonight? Let me help you. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. We're closing out today here with a gospel invitation. What a great way to close it out. I pray, Father, for believers that are here tonight, and there's some issues in their life. They are not unified with others. And they are choosing. It's a choice They're not choosing to unify with others in Jesus Christ. You've put people all around them to help them, to love them, to influence them. God, help us tonight to start the correct path, to unify with other believers in this selfish and individualistic time in our society. Help us. And then, Lord, I pray for those tonight that are not allowing themselves to have full understanding of the Bible. They're not meditating on it. They're not seeking out the things that they read that they don't understand, and spending some time praying and letting you, through your Holy Spirit, help them to see the truth of your word and teach them. Help them to sit at your feet this week. And then, Lord, we pray last of all for the issue of upholding the joy of the Lord, that God, tonight we would choose to be joyful people, and that's what you're asking. Help us to do it just as you re-instructed those folks. Help us to take your re-instruction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Won't you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, just a couple of verses. Will you come tonight? God's spoken to you in this place. Do you need the Savior? Could I help you? I'd like to get you with someone who could take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You're only a few steps away, any place here tonight. Believer, what about those areas of your life? You come. Come on. Father, it's been a wonderful day in this place. We're glad to fellowship around our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us. Lord, funny thing how when we talk about Thanksgiving, which is such an important heart attitude, directed by your Spirit, Lord, under the control of your Holy Spirit, a wonderful time of Thanksgiving regularly flows through our hearts. And you make us aware of all the things you're doing through your Holy Spirit. An endless number of things to be thankful for. As we approach Thanksgiving, Lord, help us to be a thankful people. And Lord, help us to pay attention to the things that the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us of. And Lord, may we tell you first, in private, how thankful and grateful we are for what you're doing, what you've done, and the ways in which you blessed us. Help us not to be spoiled children. Lord, help us to go to our homes. Keep us safe. We look forward to being back on Tuesday night for the Thanksgiving banquet. Lord, bless that time. Be with Brother Smith as he preaches the word. God, give him what we need. Give him wonderful liberty in this place. Give us receptive hearts and help us to see things, God, we've never seen before. When your word is preached, and the Holy Spirit is not grieved or quenched, it's amazing how many good things can be accomplished in hearts. And may that be true on this coming Tuesday night. Keep us safe. Bring us back Tuesday night. We look forward to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.